Good morning, Rabbi Sai. So we were exploring the possibilities of somebody who lives in the block of flats and he's high up. Where does he light? And the last one that we mentioned was that there are some poskim. Again, I'm abbreviating. I'm not going to go through each one, the Chazon Ish and the Stipler and Rabbi Eliashiv and all the Israeli poskim for sure. Weighed in on this as to where somebody who lives on the upper floor of a tower block, where should he light the menorah? The last one, which was a suggestion.
Is it the most important thing that the candles need to be seen? If they can't be seen, you can still light candles.
So that's what we said. What we learned was that you can still light the candles, even if they can't be seen and you don't have an audience. Yeah. But logically, it should be Sofik Brochas Lahokel. You should light without a brocha.
Oh.
Right? Because whenever we have a mitzvah, even a mitzvah d'oraisa, the brocha is always d'rabbanon. And where there's a sofik in the drabonon, a sofik in drabonon, whether to make a brocha, is a sofik in deraisa of lo yisiso Hashem Hashem lekech alashov. So we don't make brochas for nothing, we're careful. So now, logically speaking, the Mishnah Berurah says that, and that's based on the Beis Yosef, which we learnt on the tour, that a person who's in a sofik situation, i.e., let's say he has a menorah and he has no audience, right? He's travelled on business to Hong Kong and he's staying in a hotel on the 35th floor. Chances of somebody seeing his menorah are very, very slim. Yeah, and there, yeah, or somebody who came home in the middle of the night, we said, 4 a.m, everybody's sleeping, there's nobody awake, and there's nobody on the street. So, in that situation, l'choira, we should say that he should light the menorah, but without a brocha, because it's a sofik brocha, because he doesn't have an audience. Afal piken, the Mishnah Berurah said, that nevertheless, it seems to be minhag ha'olam. Seems to be minhag ha'olam, he brought Sefer Chemed Moshe. Seems to be minhag ha'olam, that even in that situation where you have no audience whatsoever and you're lighting without anybody seeing, nevertheless, the minhag is that people do make a brocha on it. And the Chovei Chas Chaim says, and somebody who wants to be soymich on that can be soymich. So therefore, these people who live in the tower blocks, when we're exploring where's the best place for them to light, whether it's at the door of their flat into the stairwell, or whether it's door of the flat into the stairwell plus keep the door open into the flat so the people can see inside, or whether you still put it on the window, all those things are because we want to know, can you do it, make a brocha? Yeah, we're in a b'dievet situation as regards to the brocha, so we want to make it as good as possible. Okay, then there is the question of what about lighting downstairs at the bottom of the stairwell? Those people who light by the door, yeah, in Israel certainly, yeah, whether or not they should light in the Knesset, whether they're the lobby downstairs, the door from the lobby to, let's take a situation where, let's say, it opens out directly onto the pavement. So you've got the door to the pavement, but you've got the lobby downstairs. Do you light in the lobby, or do you light at the door to the pavement? Again, there are some people who hold that the lobby downstairs is not the equivalent of the chotzer that the Gemara spoke about. The chotzer that the Gemara spoke about was where there are 5 houses, they share a chotzer, but that chotzer is used every day by everybody. It's used for storage, it's used for washing, it's used for hanging up the washing to dry, the ladies are chatting outside, the kids are playing. That's a different chotzer. The derech knisa, the lobby of a block of flats where you don't do anything apart from coming in and out, is maybe not got the din of the chotzer in as the was. Because again, there are arguments, there are shittas like this, there are shittas like that.
And there were many years when they didn't want the
hands
and
cows.
What Ronnie doesn't seem to be.
Everything's announcing.
Announcement, you're right.
Huh?
You're right, yes.
Sorry.
Didn't think of that.
Where's the thing
announcement? Yeah. See if we've got a sheet. Yeah.
Where's Morrison?
Yeah.
Where's the young?
It's it. Torway, Northwest London. Wednesday, Chof Kislev, the 10th of December. Dan Levy, Yitzchak Raskin, Shlita, Al Hanisim. This week's Torah has been sponsored. The Schus Refush Lema, the Chol Choyle Hamishpocha. And of course, as always, Lil Nishmas, our founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Ben, Reb, Shimon, Michal Tzvi, Zecharin Lebroch.
Yeah. This is the first time I'm actually giving the shiur after Dodi's Ptira.
Yeah.
and Shil Ilan Nishmasa, a very, very special person. Talk about Al Hanisim, Shkocha Protus. Today's Shir is on the day after Yutes Kislev. So it's the Balatanya was imprisoned, and then after 59 days of being in prison, he was released from imprisonment on Yutes Kislev. So you have a celebration, more than 200 years, Chassidim are celebrating Yutes Kislev, and you have in one of these forum, I think it's the Shulchan Aruch, the sons write, Shem HaMechaba Yoeloi Shnei Eir, that the name of the Balatani is Shneir Zalman. The name Shneir is an old name. It's mentioned early in Rishonim already. Although there is a Svora in the Meforshim and the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Gittin, when it comes to Shemus Gittin, they say that where does the name Shneir come from? There was once a child born, and the mother and father had two opinions about the name. One had the name Meir, and one wanted the name Yoer. So they came up with a solution, we'll call him Shneir. You'll have the two Eiris. And so, Shem HaMechaba Yoerle, because of the Oir, both in Halacha, in Nigla de Torah, and the Oir in Pnimius HaTorah. So you have here Balatanya of HaShulchan Aruch. So you have the Shem HaMechaba Yoerle, the Union of Eir, which is now, we talked about Al Hanisim, connecting to Hanukkah, which is the celebration with Eir, so we are in the same mode. And let's just focus for a moment. Why is Hanukkah celebrated with Eir, with light? Perhaps some people will say it's actually celebrated with latkes. But that's, seriously speaking, latkes is nice, geschmack, but the celebration is with Eir. Now you have three senses. Three of the most subtle senses. Koil mare v'reach. So when it comes to me'ilo, if you'd use something sacred, so then if you'd eaten, touched it or something, then you chayev b'me'ilo. That you'd be violating the holiness of that article. Koil mare v'reach. If you smelt something which is sacred, or if you looked at something which is sacred, or you heard a sound produced by a musical instrument which is sacred. So on these three inyonim of sound, smell, and sight, so they are the subtler senses and ein bohen me'ilo. Now, we could have celebrated Hanukkah in any of these, with any of these forms, also with the more tangible senses. So here's an interesting observation. Reyach. Reyach, how does smell travel? It's a vapor, basically. You've got the moisture, and then the moisture kind of gets into the air, and then it reaches my nostrils. Ah, so then I can relate to the smell because it's got a certain gashmius to it. And you could actually even take smell, and you can condense it. You can have a soap or something, which you've managed to condense the fragrance. So reyach is tangible. Koil is also tangible. Sound is tangible. The proof to this, the Gemara Baba Kama, about if my chicken put its head into someone else's jug and crowed, and it crowed so loud it cracked the jug. So then the whole discussion in Gemara whether I have to pay for the jug, for the breaking of the jug. So in other words, sound is tangible. And we know that we can measure it. Sound system. Okay, well, we can measure everything. What is light? Light, you cannot see light. When the light is on, I can see Fine Eden, I can see the beautiful Bes Medrash, I can see the Sforim. I cannot see light. Light, the whole, what is light? It's bringing out the mile in everything else. It's of the subtler senses, it's the most ruchni, the most subtle. And so, Hanukkah is... What is Hanukkah about? Hanukkah is celebrating the more subtle. L'hashgicham toirosecho. The Yevonim, whoever they were, Assyrians, doesn't matter, I'm not going to history for the moment. The Yevonim, they wanted to be l'hashgicham toirosecho. that what? Learn Torah, but culture, not Heiligkeit, not the holiness of Torah. They wanted to have a sterile Torah, which is just facts or whatever, but not the spiritual connection to Hashem. That they didn't want. Not Torah Secho. Torah, but not Torah Secho. And so it's this way which celebrating Chanukah, no, Oir. And whatever our relationship with Hashem is on a, it's not just on a physical level. Perhaps the main thing is on a ruchnistic level. I want to just share with you something. I'm involved in a project which I think is unique, even historically, and that is a Beis HaMedrash for Iyun Tefillah. I don't know whether, you know, I might be wrong, but I've never heard of a Beis HaMedrash for Iyun Tefillah. This is an online forum, and we've got three presenters. I give the skeleton halacha stuff, and that's why when I was asked by Josh to speak, I said right away, I'll talk about Al Hanissen, because I've prepared my notes for a shiur. The second presenter goes into Pir Shamilas, and the third one goes Al Derech Chassidus. This is an online forum, and we've been for the last 8 months or something, or more. And really, for myself, it's been very uplifting, fulfilling my own research, but then listening to the deeper in your name. So I want to share with you, before going into the Al Hanissen, just an explanation in Halleluka, which every one of us says every single day.
What sort of group are
online? There are people who've signed up, and they listen either live or afterwards they listen to a recording.
Are they geographically distant?
All over. Yes.
Isolated.
Perhaps everyone is in a tzibur, but they'll be from all over. Yeah. Mostly United States. But yeah, some in Eretz Yisrael. These are one of the milers of all the technology today that you can reach out and reach in. A koponim we have here in the Halleluka, which we say every day. So this is not from this is what I heard from one of the other Magidish here. So in Halleluka Ki Tov Zamra, the second of the Hallelukas. Okay, so towards the end of this, he starts saying like this. Hashelechim rosei oretz. Hashem sends his word to the ground. Okay. He gives snow like wool. He gives frost, he scatters like dust, like ash. He sends his karcho, his ice, kepitim, like small pieces, like hail. Lifnei kor rosei miyamoid. Who can withstand Hashem's cold? And then yishlach dvorei v'yamsim, Hashem melts the snow. And Yashivruch Yuz Lemoyim. Okay. We're almost there. It's now getting into winter. Magid Dvorav Liyakov Chukov Mishpach Yisrael. Hello. Mark Heshel. What's the flow? Sorry, that wasn't the plan. What's going on here? You're talking about ice and frost. And then Magid Dvorav Liyakov. What's going on here? So the explanation is the following. On a deeper level. Hashem has given the Torah. The Torah is, Hashem's Torah is very abstract to us. But then Hashem has given us the Torah in Sheshanoga Chesaporo and in, I had a Shaila last week. I sit in the Beis Hero in Sanford Hill. A fellow asked me, I've got an employee in Delhi, in India.
What?
I've got someone working for me in India. And Shabbos, a goy mustn't work for me. But when is Shabbos worked out? According to the Shabbos in Delhi or Shabbos in London? So these are the kind of questions we have to deal with, Gashmi's dikas situations. But they are, in a sense, in a way that the oir has become like frost and like snow and like ice, that we don't feel necessarily the ruchnius of them. So this is where we have here. Sheloyachim rosei oretz. Hashem has sent his word to the world. But it comes down in frost. It comes down in more tangible situations. But then, how does that trickle into us? So then, Yishlach devoroi v'yamseim yashiv ruchis lemoim. When a yid has learned Torah, but then he davens, and that's the ruchoi. Then you relate to the more spiritual aspect of it. Then the frost is able to dissolve, and then the ruchnius of the Torah is able to penetrate within ourselves. So this is why that the magid devor of Eliyakim. So Hashem has given us the Torah. The Torah is much higher than we can grasp. He gives us the Torah in tangible, should we say bite size or not, whatever word you want to use, in accessible pieces. But then the ruchnius of the Torah secho, how do we absorb that when it davens and relates to the Rebbe directly? Then the Torah which he learns trickles through. That's the word which I wanted to share with you, which I found very, very special. Okay, so now let's be a little bit more technical. Why is Al Hanisim, or Ve'al Hanisim, depending on which city you're down in, why is it in Moedim? And the answer is very simple. Because it's the Inyan of Ohidoyo, of Thanksgiving, and therefore its place is in Alhan, in Moedim, and it's also in benching. It's in Oida Lecho, in the second Baruch. So, mentioned Baal Tanya. So we have in the Veltische Nusuch, Al Hanisim Baal Purkon Al Hamilchomos. Is that right? No. Baal Tanya does not take on that Nusuch.
It's in Sfad, I think, and not in Ashkenaz. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
Do you have
Al Hamilchomos? No. Okay, so I feel better. I'm not starting up with everyone. So Al Hamilchomos, right word. Huh? Why? What's difficult with the Nusuch of Al Hamilchomos? We don't want Milchomos. We're not going to thank Hashem for Milchomos. There's one of the Girsois, one says Al HaTshuis Shel Hamilchomos. Okay, but Al Hamilchomos itself is a difficult one, and instead we have the Nusuch Al Hanifloys, where you have, as we have in Haner Sololu, they go together. Nisim, Niflois, and Yeshuis. So the same thing in the opener of Al Hanisim, to have those three Lashonos. Let's clarify something. Hanukkah is celebrating, in a sense, two separate aspects. You have the Nes HaMilchoma, where you have Giboyrim B'yad Choloshim, Rabim B'yad Me'atim. And then we have the miracle of the oil. These are two separate inyonim. One is, should we say, a Nes B'derech HaTeva. All right. Remarkable, amazing, but still b'derech hateva. And then you've got the mess of the oil is l'mayla b'derech hateva, that amount of oil should last for 8 days, is l'mayla b'derech hateva. It's breaking the rules of teva. So these are two separate inyonim. In Al Hanisim, there's not a single word about the Nes Hashemen. And in Haner Salalu, well, so there's not really much of a focus there about the Nitzach and Hamilchama. And in a sense, just to sort these out, we have the focus in Al Hanisim is on the Nes, on the Nitzach and Hamilchama, on the victory of the Rabim Beyad Me'atim. And then in Haner Sololo, we're going to focus on the other aspect of the Nes Hashemen. So we have, I should really open the siddur. Masarta Giboyrim Beyad Choloshim. That's amazing, yeah? Giboyrim Beyad Choloshim. Ve Rabim Beyad Me'atim, also. What goes after that? Rashoyim Beyad Tzadikim. So what's the pele about Rashoyim Beyad Tzadikim? What's unpredictable? In other words, Rabim Beyad Me'atim is unpredictable. You would have expected the Rabim to prevail. Why would you expect the Rishoyim to prevail over the Tzadikim? And you say, oh, Chiddush, Rishoyim Beyad Tzadikim.
So there's more of them.
There was more of that. So you already said Rabim Beyad Me'atim. So what's the Rishoyim Beyad Tzadikim? So the answer is that typically there's expression in the Zohar, Tukfa de gufa chulsha de nishmasa, where there is more focus on the brutal body, then that is going to be at the expense of the spiritual aspect of life. And therefore, predictably, the Rishoyim, who are not spiritually inspired, therefore they're going to be more into bodybuilding and going to be brutally more powerful. The Tzaddikim, who are more in tune with the spiritual side of life, are not so much into bodybuilding. And therefore, Rishoyim B'yat Tzaddikim is kind of also saying the physically weak prevailed over the physically strong.
So that's Gibborim B'yat
Kalashim. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay. Kind of, yeah. But perhaps it's focusing on where it came from. Okay. Zaydim B'yat Oiske Soyrosecha. Zaydim means those who sinned willfully in the hands of those who... What's the opposite here? It should have been Vezeidim Beyad Oisei Mitzvisecho. So, itaki you can see the Lashon Vezeidim Beyad Oiske Serosecho. It doesn't say Beyad Loim De Serosecho, because Oiske Serosecho includes Halacha Lemaise. That not only did they learn Torah, but they also learned Halacha Lemaise about lighting the menorah on the 15th floor of a chul, and so on. So this is, I must digress for a moment. There is a tshuva, this is my machshava zaras whilst you were speaking. There's a tshuva of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in Igus Meshe about a yid who, this is back, he was still in Lubin, a yid who had to leave the house at 5 a.m. and he is unable during his work day, no chance to put on tefillin. Is he allowed to put on tefillin before he leaves the house to go to work? And in the winter, 5 a.m. in Russia, it could be 4 hours before Nets. Is he allowed to put on tefillin when it's still in the middle of the night? Now, the reason why we don't wear tefillin at night is because Shemo Yishon Bohem, you might fall asleep and then you might not control your body. So really, getting up in the morning to go to work ain't going to sleep now. So the Gzeira is not such a... But Sir Moshe says to his answers, he should put on tefillin. And he says, but here's the word. If he is a Talmud Chochem, he should put them on without a bracha. If he isn't a Talmud Chochem, he should say it with a bracha. And what's the svara? You tell a person, do the mitzvah, but don't say a bracha. This is mezalzel, that cheapens the mitzvah in the eyes of the person. A Talmud Chochem will understand. He has to do the mitzvah. A person who's not a Talmud Chochem, you tell him, don't do a bracha, don't say a bracha, you've watered it down. So, coming back to you, when you say the minhag, which is written, that you light the menorah in your hotel room on the 15th floor, mit a bracha. So, yeah.
How did you find the Talmud Chochem?
I think yes. but do you have a problem of getting up 5 a.m. to go to work?
Yes.
You mean a different type of problem? Me too. Okay. Behidliku neiros bechatzros kodshecho. Where was the menorah lit? In the Kodesh. Yeah, you have the Shulchan Bedorim, Shulchan Betzof, Menorah Bedorim. What's the Hilkos Chatzros Kodesh? I'm afraid you struggle with this. And one svara is, it doesn't mean the Menorah B'chlo. It's talking about Neiros for celebration. As we read the Mishnah in Sukkah about the celebration of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and very prominent is how they have these four columns and they have these huge bowls of oil and flames, and it says the Loshon that a woman downtown Yerushalayim would be able to check her beans from the light of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the Hidliku Neiros B'chatzros Kodesh is the one understanding is it's Loshon for celebration. Okay, the Gemara says Loshono Acheres Kavoum V'Asoum Yom Tov B'Halal V'Hidor, that there was the miracle of Chanukah, my Chanukah, the whole story with the Shemen. The Shona Acheres Kvoum V'Asom, they established these days Le Yom Tov B'Halal V'Hedor. We say in our davening, L'Hoidoy Sulahale L'Shimcha HaGodol. So why are we saying lohoidos lahalel and not lahalel lohoidos, as it says the lashon of the Gemara, behalel v'heidoha? Got the question? So the simple answer is, in our seder hatfila, what comes first, al hanisim or halal? So we've said already al hanisim by ma'ariv, even at shacharis. We've said first al hanisim shmoina esra, and then we say halal afterwards. And therefore lohoidos lahalel. Therefore, in the Nusach HaTfilah, it's Lohoidos HaHalom. Very good. Now, get back to the Gemara. If so, why did the Gemara say, Kavom B'Halom V'Hedor? That's not Hechot Vesin Pshat, yeah? The Teretz is that the institution of Halil goes way back. Says Yisrael Mitzrayim. The Inyan of Halil, there are Rishonim who say that Halil is Deiraisa. Generally, that's not followed. If you want to look it up, I'll tell you, take the Encyclopedia Talmudis under the entry of Halal, and you'll see sources which say that Halal is Deiraisa, in a sense to say that the Eibishter performed the miracles, so that we should say Halal. That's the reason why Hashem makes miracles, because he wants Eden to say Halal. Al Kaponim, Halal is much more ancient than celebration of Hanukkah. And therefore, Kvom Bahalal. First of all, they instituted, we're going to the Halal, which you're already saying on Yom Tovim. We're now going to do Halal on Hanukkah. And then, in addition to invoking, introducing the Halal, which is known already, we're also going to do a new thing. We're going to Lehoidos. So therefore, Bahalal Behedor, that they first introduced the Halal that was known already. And the Hoidor, we're going to introduce a new thing, which is Al Hanisim. Yeah.
Maybe they already had the Al Hanisim of Purim.
I wonder. Okay. I don't know.
When that was instituted.
All right, but in any case, the Halal is older than Purim also.
So Halal is older than Purim, yeah.
Yeah. The caches are good.
Not necessarily a page.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
No,
Alanism. So he's asking a kasha, my explanation that Alanism was possibly introduced much earlier.
But they both came probably later. Alanism on Purim and Alanism on Chanukah may have come like 100 years or so, 200 years after the event.
No,
because I'm saying the Loshon HaGemara is Loshono Acheres Kavon Vasom Yom Tov Bahal V'Hedor. So that's already. So Hanukkah.
Hanukkah was like 2,160 years ago. There was no Gemara then.
Doesn't matter.
Mishnah.
They had Nusach HaTfilah. This is already from 200 years before. You had Anshe Knesset HaGdolah introduced the Nusach HaTfilah, and then they introduced this. That's clear that by Hanukkah was introduced. Whether Purim was introduced earlier or later, that we don't know. You're probably right that Purim, there was no Nusach HaTfilah because Purim is in the interim of the 70 years of Golus Bavel, and therefore there was no Nusach HaTfilah. It was only when the Eden came back to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra, etc. That's when the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah saw the need to galvanize a Nusach HaTfilah. So answer to you.
Yes, maybe Al Hanisim of Purim
was then. Right. So let's focus a little bit on also the Hadlokas Ne'er Chanukah. So there is a debate where it says Mitzvosa Mishatishka Chachamo, from when the sun sets. In this, there's Machlokas, the Mechaber, etc. They learn Mishatishka Chachamo Misoif Shkios. Whereas the Prichodosh and others take the view Mishatishka Chachamo means right after Shkia. Which therefore I'm not sure what the minig, the Litvish minig, Yekesh Sheminig is. I know the Chassidish Sheminig, the Galician, etc., they will light after Ma'ariv, because they're taking the view of Mishatishka Acham of Sev Shkios. Minig Chabad is to be Choshesh to the first Shitta, the earlier Shitta, and therefore we light the Menorah right after Mincha. But then there's a Shaila of you might be lighting it too early. And the Shia we have of 30 minutes. So, when Menoyek to light it right after Mincha, or right after Shkia, Misha Tishka Chamo, but to make sure to have enough oil that it should last not 30 minutes but 50 minutes or more, so that it should be a light for after the till the shear, the Veltische shear of 30 minutes from Seif Shkir.
According to that, you've also got a Sufik Bracha when you light that.
No, you can even light from Plaga Mincha.
With the Bracha?
You can light from Plaga Mincha with the Bracha, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The Nusach at the Bracha is Lahadlik Neir. So then, depend which Siddur again, whether it's Neir Chanukah or Neir Shel Chanukah. Shella Chanukah, right? Well, yeah. That's a certain style of shell being part of the main word. If you take a look, Moshel in Kafach's edition of Rambam, whenever it's a shell, it's Shella of the next word, Shella Bayis, etc., whatever. But there's there's Cheshbeinus why it's done this way. But there is a in the Arkunti Arizal, it is Lahadik Neir Chanukah. Lahadik Neir Chanukah has got the Rosh Tevis of the word Nachal. Are you happy? Nachal is okay. Nafshenu Chikzal Hashem. Okay. It goes much deeper than that. And you take a look at Siddur Arizal, you'll see answer Gematrius Cheshbeinus why Dafka to get the number to have the number of Nachal. Right. I'm going to Haner Selol, but why do we have Ayudikei Haner HaKadosh? Why is that emphasized? So, an explanation is the following. If one of the Chashvenoim would have come and asked a Shaila by a Poisek Hador, we are 12 people, that Rashi says, and I think in Parashas Abses HaBrocha, there were 12 Bnei Chashvenoim. Asked, should we rise and resist this occupying force, or should we surrender? And so they would be told by a Poisek, it's diabolical what you're doing. There's no chance. You're 12 people against this huge army, you have no chance. Forget it. That's what they would be told. So they're going literally on Messias Nefesh. Do you have the right, do you have permission to go for Messias Nefesh to support Yiddishkeit when the odds are so stacked against you? And so you have in Poskim, they say, you can only be Moshe Nefesh for the three mitzvahs of Gedoros Avodah Zarah Shechichas Domim. But then there is this Loshen that in Poskim, that a person who is seen as a chosid, as in other words, seen as a leading inspirational figure, is allowed to have Messias Nefesh even for a lesser inyan. And this is... Araksa de Misani, I think, is for everyone.
Yeah.
But here is a word that a person who is seen as an inspiration for the klal is allowed to have Messias Nefesh even for a lesser inyan because of his profile. That's the word Ayudike Hanecha Hakadesh. Because they were the leading inspiration of Klal Yisroel at that time, therefore it was justified that they should go on Messias Nefesh against all odds and against what would have been the Psak Halacha, because of their profile of being in such a lead position, and therefore they went on Messias Nefesh, and they bishter helped that they were mida keneged mida. They went lemailo mider chateva, in a sense, and therefore they were given the Yeshua lemailo mider chateva, and so we should be zoyche bekorov to see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash and the Neis. Neis bechatzis kachecho mit Moshiach Tzidkeinu.
Okay. Well, that's good enough. Sorry, his question about Raks and the Sun is a good one. It was a Shas Hashmat. Everybody in Shas Hashmat can be Moshe Nefesh for anything.
Will they duty with it?
What?
Will
humiliation.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What do you achieve with the Raksa de Masana? The guy will shoot you. Yeah? And you have to say, I'm going to do up my shoelaces the way the Jews do it. Yeah? He says, I'll kill you if you do that. Yeah? Then you're allowed to be Moisa Nefesh B'Shah Sashbat.
No? The Choya?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's a good point. Yeah.
Then you see the Arizal, the whole passage of the Gemara.
I don't want to.